Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
Sensitivity.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Signos.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome back to the Canceled Podcast. I'm like a mouse. We are so excited to be back.
I feel like
just the two of us.
We haven't sat on this couch in a minute. We've been stacking episodes because of tour, but today we are back in it and ready to go.
Yeah, we leave again in what, 2 days?
In 2 days, dude. The tour life is getting crazy. Like, I come here.
You know what's funny about it is it's like, it really isn't like a tour. It like technically is because we're going like a lot of different places.
Yeah.
But it's like, we come home.
But I've just been like not coming home. Like just
being, oh yeah, that's true. You went to New York.
Yeah, I went to New York for like 9 days. I want to talk to you about the fact that I literally think we need to move there.
I would love to move there. I would love for you to move there. So then it's like, oh, I have to move to New York. It's work. And we have a studio. We know we could film that. I feel like it would be really good. Although now is not the time of year to move to New York.
I know it's going to get cold and maybe I won't feel that way. But I've just like, I'm so finally, I think, over LA.
Yeah, we had a long talk about this last night, actually.
We really did.
It happens to everybody. Like you were saying, you expected it to be kind of like a gradual shift. And really, it's just like you wake up one day and you're like, holy shit.
Exactly. Like I really thought it would, like over time I would get slowly over it, and I just woke up one day and I was like, oh my god, this place. And I think even the way that we've been touring in all these normal cities, mm-hmm. like just really opens your eyes to like nowhere else in the world is like this place
at all. And like it's funny because if you watch any place or any like movie or show that like shows LA, it's always like it seems like a parody vibe, but it's like, no, that's really like what it's like here.
Yeah, we even were talking about that on the last episode a little bit, or two episodes ago by the time this comes out, like your encounter with like a fake LA person and how people like are here, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just like I never want to see another influencer again. I never want to go to a TikTok party and have TikTok beef. Like I swear to god, I woke up one day and I was like, I'm 30. Like that's how I feel.
You're not 30 and you're well like a ways away from 30, but I understand what you're saying, where it's like I do the same thing. Like people will be like, do we want to go to like this birthday party tonight? And I'm like, I can't go there.
Exactly.
Like I am 26.
I've been here for 10 years. It hasn't felt like that until as of recently. Like I'm just like, oh, I live in LA, like whatever. But like
it helps that you're sober, so you can see it for what it really is versus
exactly.
like feeling like it's fun when it's not.
Yeah, and I just feel like I woke up one day, like even just within this sobriety, and I was like, I need like a change of pace. Like I feel like I've hit my like ceiling here. Mm-hmm. Like I've done everything I need to do.
It could also mean that you just like need some time away. Like maybe it's like, it's not that you're done with it forever, but like maybe you need a second to like try something else out. I say we go to Nashville for like 3 months.
Nashville would be such a slay. I think the issue about the other cities that aren't New York, I'm really sold on New York, is like there's just like not enough work there. Like
yeah.
I would just be in Nashville like fucking like husking corn, like type shit.
Well, like
you know?
I mean, if you think about it, like what, like we could do this in Nashville.
We could post a photo
in Nashville. We could post a YouTube video in Nashville. Like really, there's lots of work.
That's true, but like just New York. There's so many other.
I would love to go to New York. I think that would be amazing. God, we should have done that like right now, so that we could be there for like 2 months and then come back in time for it to get like frigid.
Maybe we go right now.
I have to bring Murph. Tana and Murph really bonded last night. Tana was like a little cat mom last night.
You were so happy to see me and your cat become like friends. I'm really afraid of cats.
She's not scary. She doesn't attack.
I know, but did you? Could you even notice that if she like put her paw up, I would like jump? Like,
yeah, I'm like that with other cats too, because you don't know what another cat's gonna do. But I know that she would never like bite or do anything.
Yeah, I've just been attacked by so many cats. I don't think cats like, because cats are like,
well, cats can sense if you're scared too, so then it like makes them like more crazy.
I guess that's true. And I feel like cats are mischievous, and I'm mischievous, so cats are like, nah, fuck that. Like, I can. Like, I'm the only mischievous person.
Oh, you think cats, you think people. That's what it is?
I don't know what it is. I just think I'm a dog person, but I was bonding with your cat. I haven't seen you really since we were on tour, because I went to New York, and we'll get into all of that in a little bit. But I got back yesterday. It was the first time I've seen you since our literal biggest fight we've ever had.
It's like actually really crazy. And I guess they'll like probably see it whenever like the tour footage comes out.
So the thing is we're shooting a tour documentary right now. So not only did we have our biggest possible fight ever, but it was on camera. And that's a little crazy.
Honestly, I'm like ashamed of how this went down. It was like really like a little, like it's embarrassing.
It's, we're
it, like, really. Think like screaming, slamming, running.
Crying, like yeah. Whole night. It was like, oh my God. Like we both need.
Like
to
think
be.
Everybody at the House of Blues like turning around and being like, what the fuck is going on in there?
Yeah, like we had a WWE SmackDown proper in a green room at the House of Blues in Cleveland.
I will say, I think it solved, like I think it did what it needed to do.
We always do this, dude. And that's how I know that we're insane. First of all, we get in this, I words can't express how big of a fight this truly was. And an hour later, you come to my hotel room and you're like, look at this TikTok. And everyone was like,
you'll see, it's like too much to really explain, but like, yeah. The like catalyst of all of this was like some comments that he made about Tana's jorts that she was wearing.
The fight was a real fight about,
and it
real-
was not about jorts at all, but like I kept throwing little jorts jabs in there, like, yeah,
we were like, you know, we just got into it about some discrepancies of touring, and people don't realize how hard it is to tour together as well.
It
like
is.
With anyone. It's literally like a relationship. Like you and I have to both have our standpoints and how we want to travel and how we want to do the show and how we want to do everything, and kind of hit a 50-50 compromise in order to make everything work. And obviously there are bumps in the road with that, and we're learning how to navigate those so we can tour forever. So yeah, we were fighting about some like real shit.
I was using the jorts to like get my anger out about like something else. You like, know what I mean? Like I was using the jort, like that they were disguised as jort comments, but really I was just fucking furious at you.
This all just sounds so fucking stupid. We're like, we're so grown, and then it's like grow up, like hearing yeah. this. But we always try to kind of coordinate our outfits for shows. And just so it's like, you know, because we can have really different styles sometimes.
Well, she'll come down in like a fucking floor length gown and I'll be wearing like a tank top and jeans. And I'm like, you like, couldn't have told me. Like,
exactly. So we had a show where I was giving like Nessa Barrett core, like for Love and Lemons dress, like big leather boots. And yeah. you were like in jeans and like a corset or something.
Yeah.
We were,
like, so I was like, maybe we like talk about it next time.
Right. And so I had shown you my jorts. A couple cities. I can't even say the word. Like I'm never wearing jorts again. I'm never saying the word jorts again. But I'd shown you my jorts a couple cities prior, and you were like, oh my God, like I have jorts too. We could match. And I call you from my hotel room, and I didn't know she was mad at me for like something else. So I call, I FaceTime you, and I'm like, should I wear my jorts? She's like, I don't give a fuck about your jorts. Calm down.
I'm going to drag you by your jorts downstairs.
And then that was jorts comment one. And then I shit you not. For the rest of the day, I think you made 45 comments
okay, but
about
like,
my
here's
jorts.
Here's the thing. I didn't think it was like, I thought they were like lighthearted, but since you were already kind of mad at me, I feel like you took them as like, okay, this is like, she's weaponizing the jorts. And and in my head, I was like, okay, this is like a lighthearted way to like fizzle out like the other aspect of this fight.
Like I swear to God, we'd be at the meet and greet and someone would be like, every time anyone said anything to you, to me, you'd be like, and she's in her jorts.
But when, when it finally came to like be an actual fight, Tana's like, and you can't shut the fuck up about the jorts. I'm like, I haven't said shit about the jorts. I'm like, I haven't said anything about those jorts. And then I go in my TikTok drafts, and I had been making like a day in the life TikTok. When I tell you, every single clip, I reference the Dorts in some way.
And this is just in the TikTok. Like, at a certain point, you stopped calling me by my name. You started just calling me, like, Jorts is over there.
Jorts McGee.
Like, Jorts McGee.
I changed your name in my phone to Jorts McGee.
And I don't think I've ever, ever, ever been the type of person to get mad over some shit like that. Because we always talk about that. Like, we have certain
We always make fun of each other, like, lip flip, haha.
Yeah, like, we love to make fun of each other. And we always talk about in our friend group.
And
like,
I wear Jorts.
We'll have a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, at someone, and then they get so mad about it. So it's like funnier to just keep fucking with them.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm very much the type where it's like, fuck with me, I'm never gonna get mad. And that was the first time I felt like Lila. Like, I feel like Lila's the type to get mad.
Yeah, like, she's
over.
So sensitive over like stuff that's totally a joke.
And I literally was like, if you bring up my fucking Jorts one more, I can never wear them again. Like, you actually changed my outlook.
I loved the Jorts. It was never about the Jorts, but
I just,
I'm like, you guys just stay tuned and you'll understand.
Yeah, you will see in the doc what our actual fight was about. But we had a heart to heart yesterday, and
we worked out the little kinks in the Jorts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
It's just, yeah, I can actually never wear them again.
But we did, like, we had Jortsgate. And then we just flew home and didn't fucking speak.
At all, because I was going to New York and you were going to LA.
We went to New York for 9 days and then I guess we just pretended it didn't happen. But like, yeah, last time we saw each other, we had like actually the biggest blowout fight we've ever had.
I think it was, you and I are both the type of people who work so much better if we have time to cool off though. So I think it's almost good that we had that like space.
I have like some emotional dysregulation that happens. So I need a little time to like start to think it, like, is it logical or am I screaming over Jorts?
Yeah, exactly. I get that. Same. I just needed to like calm down and then we like talked it out. But it's so funny, you guys. I need to get this off my chest, okay?
Oh no.
I just wanna walk. And I'm happy for you, okay? I just want to say that before I even get into this. I'm so happy for you, but I just want to walk you even and the people through the feeling that I felt, okay?
Okay.
I get to New York right after Jortsgate. Next morning, like, we fight crazy. She comes in my room and we have that little, like, look at this TikTok moment, which was just insane. Like, truly, like, both of us just, like, be mad longer. Like, you two look insane.
Yeah.
And then I fly out of Ohio to New York. You fly home. And so I get to New York and I'm getting ready. You know, I'm not really like thinking about our fight too much, but it's there. It's in my head, you know, and we're both mad at each other still, you know, and frustrated and upset. You text me and you're like, guess what just happened to me? And I'm like, oh, what, Brooke? I met Adam Sandler is the text I get from her. And imagine you are so fucking mad at someone. And then like you went home and you met Adam Sandler. Like,
I will say, like, my dick literally got hard at the thought of, like, me meeting Adam Sandler when I was already mad at you.
I can't imagine. I'm sure it was amazing. I swear to God, Brooke, I was speechless. Like, and you know, this bitch is never speechless.
Can I tell you something crazy?
Yeah.
Is at first I lied. At first, like, I genuinely was lying. Like, I was at the Jonas Brothers concert and I saw Adam Sandler's two daughters. And so I was like, oh my God, like what if Adam Sandler were here? So before I even saw Adam himself, I texted you and I said, Adam Sandler is here. And I was lying. I was literally lying.
You fucking evil bitch.
I was lying because I'm like, Tana is going to die.
Die.
And then I like go to get like a drink or something and I saw Adam and I literally was sick. I took probably 60 videos of him.
I am never speechless. And I swear to God, I didn't talk for 2.5 hours. Like, it got to the point where, like, Paige and Jeff and, like, people around me were like, can you put into words how you feel? Like, is, you know, do you want to talk about, like, how do you feel? And I was just like, obviously, like, if I can leave the current moment, I'm happy for you. I love Adam Sandler. Like, you know what I mean? Hopefully my time will come. But just, like, the 48 hours being, like, our biggest absolute fight ever, and now, like, you're meeting our idol without me, and you're, like, texting me about it. I'm, like, I wasn't even mad. I was just, like, shocked at the state of events. Like, yeah. The timeline was just crazy.
And you know what Adam was wearing?
Jorts.
No, honestly, saying I even met him is kind of pushing it. I said, hi, Adam. He said, hi. That was it.
I would stop talking to, like, people I'm, like, very close with to experience that. And that's, Paige was trying to, like, help me out, you know, being like, it's not like they're having, like, a full-blown conversation. Like,
we weren't.
She's just in the room with him. She's just saying hi. And I'm like, I was just like, Paige, you don't understand. Like, that is my dream.
I was, like, so distracted by it, though. Like, after that, I could barely, no, I couldn't smell him. He was, like, he was still, like probably 2 arms length away. Like, I didn't get to, like, really encounter him. But it was just everything because, first of all, the Jonas Brothers concert in itself, like, that was such a, like, nostalgic, like, inner child, like, healing thing. I told this story on TikTok, but, like, when I was fucking 11 years old, this dumb Raina in my class, she told me she had Jonas Brothers tickets. She said she had an extra one. So I went home. I sobbed. I was so excited. I got completely ready. I fucking shaved my legs. Everything you do when you're 11 years old and a Jonas Brothers concert is about to happen. And she never fucking picked me up. Okay.
She just ghosted Raina you?
Never came. So
were you still friends with her after?
No. I was traumatized. I was literally sick.
That's, like, horrible behavior. Huh?
Where does she work?
I don't, you're so bad. Like, Cynthia. No, I don't know what happened to Raina. And honestly, like, I forgave her in the years following, but it was, like, really traumatizing.
And it's like a candidate.
So I was like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, Live Nation invited me. I got to, like, go to the Jonas Brothers in this experience. And then on top of that, which was already a high, Adam fucking Sandler's there. I was,
it's
like,
the best night of your life.
Yeah, I had to tell you about it, honestly.
Well, absolutely. I was going.
And I have high hopes that one day we're going to, like, really get to meet him and actually talk to him and stuff.
I want it so
badly. I want to, like, God, I wish, like, his daughters or something were, like, more accessible where we could, like.
Like, this is going to sound so fucking, like, stuck up and insane of me to say, and I don't mean it like that, but just, like, in my entire life, I have never wanted someone in the age bracket of his daughters to be a canceled fan more.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that, like, anyone's raised them to be a canceled fan.
At all. Like, they're doing perfectly fine. You know, like, they're listening to some
smart shit. Like, they are far. Not that there's anything wrong with being a canceled fan, but I don't think that that's the journey that they're on. I wish it was. But you know who was a canceled fan? The two girls who were manning the little VIP section that Adam Sandler was in. Super fans.
So did they let you, is twins. That how that happened? They mm-hmm. let you in?
And yeah, and then Frankie was in there. And I took a picture with Adam. I'll have Oscar insert the photo, but I took a picture like me pointing at Adam. And then I looked back on him later and Frankie's photobombing every photo.
Wait,
I'm like,
stop. Aw. That's everything. I love Frankie Jonas. He's such
so fucking sweet. He has Tana tattooed on his leg.
Which I forget about all the time. If I actually like tally up the amount of people who have my name tattooed that I know, it's like a decent amount. And I just forget. But
did he tell you who's doing that? Or he told you after, right?
No, it was Christmas Eve.
Do you think, what kind of bet was that he had to have lost?
He posted something where he was like, tattooed something like no offense stupid on him, and I commented like my name next or something like that. I don't really remember. And I woke up on Christmas Eve. I was in Breckenridge, Colorado, and I was like in my little pajamas and it was snowing outside, and I saw that TikTok and I like lost my mind.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I was like I was freaking out a little too hard. I think it was a little
I wish you came to the Jonas Brothers. That was really something else. I went to Beyonce, I think the day before you went. You got to go to Beyonce and you got to see the real show, which was Kylie Jenner and Timothée Chalamet. Dude,
I never get some tea like this in real time. Absolutely ever. So concerts have kind of, we've been going to a lot of concerts lately, and it's been like, just like by luck, like random people have just been inviting us to shit, but it's been helping me so much with my sobriety because it's like concerts are such a good serotonin, like actual fun, like sober or not, you know? So I've been trying to just go to all the ones I get invited to. And I get an email that's like, Boohoo wants to invite you to Beyonce. Like, I've never worked with Boohoo. So I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
huge slay.
I swear to God, I think Tarte really did something for my like brand safeness a little bit. Like, I don't know what they did. That concealer is taking me fucking home, you know? Like, just more brands that I would usually never work with have been reaching out since Tarte. So I was like, Boohoo wants to take me to Beyonce. And I'm like, fuck yes, let's do it. And so they're nice enough to give me a plus one. And I was originally going to take Hunter. And then I go to the Boohoo showroom with Ari. And we're like, I'm picking out the Boohoo clothes to like wear that night. And we overhear one of the Boohoo people reading the guest list of people who are going with Boohoo to Beyonce. And they're reading it off. And it is dead ass me, my plus one, Deira and Ken, which are like a family channel.
Mm-hmm.
The Boohoo staff and the City Girls.
The motherfucking City Girls.
That's it. It's, that's so it's crazy. Essentially me, one other like influencer and her man, Boohoo staff, and the City Girls.
Yeah, so
whoever made that lineup was like off of Perk 30. Yeah, wait,
so funny. I like when like lucky accidents happen.
Like, so
not that it was an accident.
And so Ari's there and he starts crying. He loves the City Girls so much.
Ari's like a City Girl super fan. It would have been so wrong to not take him.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm not, and honest to God, Hunter in that environment just sounds like the worst thing ever.
Yeah, Hunter is not a City Girl.
So I was like, Ari, let me make a wish you real quick. I'm gonna take you with me. Let's go. And it's so fun because like all the Boohoo employees are kind of talking about like when they're gonna get there, who's riding in what car, like if JT and Carisha are gonna ride together or not, or if they're taking separate cars, and all this shit happened. Ari's just eating it up. You know what I mean? Because it's like just seeing your like idols like move in real life. Fuck you for meeting Adam Sandler. It's like crazy. And we get there. So a suite at a concert is like relatively small. So it's like just us and the City Girls and the Boohoo people and like whatever. And we're all like together. And I didn't really say any words to the City Girls. I think I offered them like one of my chairs. And they were like, yeah, I want that chair. And I was like, take the chair. Like, have the chair. But I realize that where our suite is directly in front of like where Beyonce's guest list enters to like see Beyonce. You know what I mean? Like the people. So like when, like how when we went to Zach Bryan, like there's the area that's like literally in the middle of the crowd that like if you're on that artist guest list, like you watch it from like there, you know? And I realized that our suite is directly next to that. And I realized that because I see Justin Bieber and Hailey like entering and walking up. And I'm like, oh my God. And you know, I'm just the believer in these gagged boots.
Yes, they just celebrated 5 years. Congratulations.
Sincerely. And I realized that we now have this front row seat to just see all of the celebrities like going in.
And that's like the best too, because it's like, what? You can't, how are you going to get in if you don't pass me?
Exactly. So I'm just sitting there like watching. And I see Zendaya and Tom Holland. She's like towering over him. It's so cool. Changed my whole perspective on
he's like on her back.
Like, it changed my whole perspective on like short king of it all.
I would be with the short king. I don't even care.
Like, I think that like maybe after seeing that I'm kind of okay with that, you know what I mean? Like, just it's kind of sweet. And then I noticed that there's like 15 bodyguards like surrounding like three people, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Who is it?
And I'm like freaking out, and it's literally like 10 fucking inches from me. And I look up, and in between all of the bodyguards is Kendall Jenner holding hands with Kylie Jenner and Timothy just walking with them. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally getting a front row seat to their like debut, right?
Fully. Yeah, because that was the first time that like Wimbledon or whatever, not Wimbledon, the US Open hadn't happened yet.
So this was like their debut as a couple. So I'm gagged boots. I literally thought Timothy was like a videographer though. I'm not even going to lie. Like
Yeah, because if you see Kylie in front of you, I don't think you can even really see anything else.
And he was just in like all black in like a hat. Like he kind of blended in with the security. And then I was like, oh my God, that's literally Timothy Chalamet. So fucking hot. And what was funny is that whole group was like moving like Secret Service, like up to the fucking Beyonce guest list. And then trailing behind them like 3 minutes later is just a lone Travis Scott. Aww. Alone Travis Scott. And I was like, there's no
poor like, Trav.
He's better than I. Like, I could never like,
I wouldn't come within 1 billion miles of my ex, and especially if my ex had a new sexy partner.
I think Travis is so sexy too. They're just sexy in different ways. But, and I obviously, the co-parenting of it all probably changes people's like perspectives on like being able to be around.
Do you think that they co-parent though? I can't picture like Travis picking Stormy up.
I don't know
either.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
But Travis comes over to talk to the city girls. So I'm like watching him talk to them and I'm like trying to get the tea and like whatever and like listen. And it was just, yeah, I don't want to like, I'm walking a thin line right now. Like I get scared when I actually feel like I'm exposing some real celebrity tea and like they're going
to. Yeah, I think it's better sometimes to stick to what like the public already kind of knows.
Yeah, but I
because otherwise people are going to be scared of us forever.
I spent the entire concert watching Beyonce through Kylie and Timothy's eyes and it was just great. And
I love that. I remember I saw a concert one time that Kris Jenner was watching too and I was trying to experience it as Kris Jenner.
Exactly. Like when we went to Billie Eilish and Justin Bieber was there, I literally don't think I looked at Billie one time. I just watched
at all Justin, and they like, were all cuddled up
watching.
I love how much people would talk about how like Justin hates Hailey and then like did you see what he posted for their 5-year?
Yes.
His caption, like how sweet it was and like the words he chose. I'm like, he loves her.
I think they're perfectly fine and the world just has so much to say, you know what I mean?
I know. Do you think they just laugh about it?
I wonder.
She's so much better than me. Someone says like the most minor thing about me, like, and I'm like,
yeah, like I'd be like actually like questioning my man.
Me too. Like I'd be like, why don't you look at me like that?
Yeah, that's fair.
I moved into a new apartment. Finally have windows. Finally have light. Murphy can see outside. Dude, and
that canceled revenue is banging. I went to your apartment yesterday and my jaw was on the literal fucking floor. It's so nice.
It's a very nice apartment. I'm very excited about it. I feel so happy there. But I did have like a funny realization the other day as I'm driving through the parking garage and I almost get hit with a bright orange Lamborghini.
And only one motherfucker has a bright orange Lamborghini.
Just like the funniest person to accidentally live in my building ever. Harry Jowsey.
Harry Jowsey is your neighbor. What do you think's going to come of that?
Probably nothing. Imagine I'm like, come downstairs.
That would be such a slay, living in an apartment building with people that I could. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was like, honestly brings me back to the dorms. Like, oh, that used to be so fun being like, okay, yeah, I'll be up in 20.
Yeah, that's a slay. Like,
it was so fun. I keep saying to Tana, like, I wish everybody could move all into my building and then we could all just live there and have our different places.
I think after this house, I am going to become an apartment girly. Like, just because the security outside and the stalker.
Just
of
to
it
have
all.
To pay for your own security versus just like that coming with the apartment is crazy.
Yeah, like it's just, it would save me a lot of money and stress and just living in fear 24/7.
I feel so safe. I can watch anything I want on Netflix now without having to think about, like, is someone gonna murder me?
That's
my
so
last
true.
Apartment, actually, I never told this story on Canceled because I was scared, but I got literally attacked in the elevator at my last apartment by like this stupid fucking idiot steroid fucking stupid guy.
What happened?
You know, you don't know this story?
Mm-mm.
He's like, something's definitely like a little off.
I remember
him.
When this happened, but I don't remember the story.
I would always see him like following me. Like if I got out like to check the mail or something, like I would see him like linger and wait around for me to get in the elevator. Like he would like not go up to his apartment and stuff. He would always like hang around and be watching me. Mm. So it was already like kind of weird. And then one day, he like pulled into the garage and I pulled in behind him because it was open, obviously, because he had just pulled in. And he stopped and he's like waving out the window, like looking at me funny. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, so it's just weirded out. And I was parked all the way on the bottom floor at my old apartment. And so I waited in my car for like 15 minutes because I just had a weird feeling.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just don't like want to encounter him in the elevator at all. Yeah. So I waited until I knew he would have been in his apartment.
Mm.
He was on P2. I was on P4. I was all the way on the bottom. There's no reason we should run into each other in the elevator.
Yeah.
The elevator opens and he's in it. And so
he like waited in the elevator?
Yeah, he waited 15 minutes. I sat in my car. So he just went up and down and up and down until I finally called it down to P4. Immediately, I just went crazy. I was like, why the fuck are you in the elevator? Like, I just waited 20 minutes to avoid you. Because like, I was scared. I was like, what? Like, why did you wait for me? I said that. I was like, why did you wait for me? He starts freaking out saying, you don't fucking live here. I'm like,
this is my garage opener, that's my car, that's my parking spot, this is my apartment. Like, what do you mean I don't live here?
Good for you for, like, because I always say that, like, when guys are staring at me or guys make me uncomfortable, it's so hard and scary to, like, stare back or confront them back, but, like, it's what you
have to do. No, I had to. I'm in the elevator. So then I tell him, too. I'm like, don't pretend you don't know I live here because I've seen you following me. I saw you do this. I've seen you 100 times being a fucking creep.
Which is a terrifying encounter just alone in an elevator.
Yeah, well. So then I immediately, I call, like, my building manager, and the building I lived in was like not secure at all. Like there's one girl who works there, and I'm not kidding, she's had so many family emergencies that I can't imagine she has any family members left.
Oh my
like,
God.
She has never ever, I could literally tell her, like, someone just smashed all four of my windows in and held me at gunpoint, and she'd be like, okay, well, I'll see what I can do about it later. Like, it was so bad. So I told her about it, and she was like, okay, I'll have a talk with him. I go, what do you mean you're gonna have a talk with him? He just fucking screamed at me, scared the shit out of me. I went into the lobby because I didn't want him to know what floor I lived on.
Uh-huh.
And he followed me out into the lobby. He's like, wait, like, he just was like freaking out.
I would have called the police. That's terrible.
Yeah, no. So she was like, I'll have a talk with him. I go, what do you mean have a talk with him? So then another,
well, it's crazy because LA police, I always talk about this, and I'll get into this in a second because I have a whole tangent, but they just don't care
at all, unless like somebody literally shot you, like they're not coming.
Yeah.
Another girl in my apartment complex has an encounter with him like that, but he literally shoves her in the elevator, and because like something, like she was like, he said she was being rude or something, they have this whole altercation. She tells the building manager about it again, just says, oh, I'll have a talk with him. Then he keys her car, nothing, doesn't get evicted. And then on the day that I'm moving out, I have my movers come and I'm letting them in. It's like three movers and me. And I had like one interaction with him after our like first really bad thing where it was just like kind of pleasant. I just like gave him a head nod. He gave me a head nod and I was like, whatever, I'm just not gonna like deal with this guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, I'll just be nice. I got in the elevator. I go, oh, excuse me. And he goes, do you not fucking know elevator etiquette? Why the fuck are you getting in if I haven't even gotten out yet? Like what, like why the fuck? Just like starts going crazy. And he's like, he's just
how
the
old
weirdest,
do you think he is?
I don't know. He's like this gym guy, like so clearly on steroids, like something's like so wrong with him. And my movers are with me and he's screaming at me. And I go, what the fuck? So I texted the building manager. It was my last day, so I had nothing to lose. I go, I promise you, if I don't find out that this guy gets evicted, like I'm literally gonna personally like smash all four of his windows and keys.
100%.
Like everybody is unsafe. Like all the girls who live in that building are unsafe because he's attacked me, another girl, keyed a girl's car, and hasn't gotten evicted. What the fuck?
That's
do you
awful.
Mean
awful. That's
and
actually
she, like she just
awful.
Does nothing about it. And so I was like scared to live there, but I didn't want to talk about it on the podcast because I still lived there.
Have you ever on the podcast talked about your weird stalker?
No, but I'm still a little freaked out about that because I know she watches the shit.
Are you ever gonna see her again?
Probably not. I guess I can.
This story to me is fucking mind-blowing. I just want to say
this apartment in general, like this apartment, like it was such a nice apartment, but the whole, like everything about it was just like a little, like something was off.
Yeah.
And I had met this girl, like she was moving in and I met her outside. And so she was like, oh, I just moved from out of state. Like I gave her my number because I was like, oh, you're new here. Like I just wanted her to have like a contact or whatever. Yeah. She started like texting me constantly and stuff. And I was just being nice to her, whatever.
Yeah.
She would text me randomly. She had a cat. So she was like, oh, I got like this for your cat. Like, can I come drop it off? And she'd come over and like stay for hours. And I was just like, oh, like, okay, like whatever.
Yeah, at that point it's still just kind of like, oh, maybe she has,
yeah, and she, yeah, was so nice, like it was fine. But then she would like randomly say stuff sometimes where I was like, like you're lying.
What was
like she would like make up stories. Like she'd be like, yeah, like I saw Noah Beck today. I literally saw Noah Beck today and he like asked me for my number and I said no, and then like just like all this stuff that I'm like, that didn't
happen.
Wasn't
she like low-key beat?
No, yeah, and no, like Noah Beck didn't ask for her number.
Yeah, the just only like, reason I'm saying that is because of what you're gonna say that like proceeds.
She was nice and like honestly harmless. I never like, we didn't really get to know each other. It was just very much like she's my neighbor, whatever. And one time I'm leaving and I'm like, I usually have the other Brooke watch my cat because that's the easiest, but she doesn't live like nearby, so it's like hard. And I want Murphy to have somebody who can just like come down and check on her easy.
Yeah.
So I had this girl watch my cat and I was like, can you just like come downstairs, feed her, you know, like,
yeah,
that's it. Like she lives upstairs. All she has to do is come downstairs, feed her, maybe play with her for like a second.
Some neighborly shit.
Yeah. I was only gone for a couple days.
Yeah.
I come home after being gone and she, first of all, the cat doesn't have any water. And I'm like, that was literally your only job, was to give her food and water.
And weren't your like clothes?
No. Yeah. So then I go, I'm like, that's kind of strange. Whatever. I go upstairs and she had tried on my clothes because like the way that I know where every single little, I know every single pair of jeans. I could close my eyes and name them all in order. Like I know everything
your
about...
Your denim rock means a lot to
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And so, like, they were, like, rearranged. And I was like, oh, did, like, she tried on my clothes? And so I was like, kind of weird.
Yeah.
Really weird.
No, that's it for me. That's yeah. where I'm done.
So then I'm like, oh, like, that's kind of awkward, but whatever. Like, maybe she wanted something to wear, and it's like, whatever. She's watching my cat. You can wear a fucking outfit. So then, but I had a two-story apartment. There's no reason she should have even been upstairs.
Yeah.
So then I come downstairs, and I turn on the TV, and my recent YouTube searches are Brooke Schofield drama, Clinton Kane, Brooke Schofield. Like, she was searching me on my own TV.
And you're sure that wasn't you off of Xanax?
I know. I'm positive. I forget where I was, but I was somewhere. Or I think I was in... No, it was like we were on a trip somewhere, but yeah. It's like there's no reason I would never search
I'm kidding.
And so I was like, first of all, how does she even know my last name? Like,
yeah,
I've never shared any information about. I didn't tell her I had a podcast. I didn't tell her social media. She knew nothing about
also,
me.
Also, like, clear your search history if you're gonna do that.
Yeah, and so I was like, that's kind of strange. And I was like, ugh, you're searching me in my own house, whatever. Then I go to drive my car. I can't reach the pedals. And I'm like, this bitch drove my fucking car. She has the nicest car too. There's no reason that she should be driving my car, but she drove my car. And my cat will push things off the counter. So I had my keys like tucked away in a drawer, meaning she had gone through all my drawers, found the keys, drove the car.
And at this point, I'm telling you, like, file a police report. This girl wants to wear your skin like a fucking onesie. She's a murderer. I think just, you know how I am. Like, the level of paranoia. Like, if yeah. I see two... If there's two stalkery red flags in a row, like, that's it for me. Like, I think this person's going to kill me. Like, whatever. You continue to engage with her.
I know, but because, again, it was another thing where it's like, okay, I still live in this building. I run into her constantly. By the way, I've never seen hardly at all another person who even lives in this building, but I see her constantly. She's everywhere all the time.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. That's good. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy, can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Cygnos.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Didn't something happen with like Dior or Chanel and then you went to her apartment?
Oh, she told me, she was like, yeah, someone had broken into my car. Oh, this is crazy. She was like, someone broke into my car. They stole three Rimowas. They stole my Dior bag. They stole this, this, and this. And I'm like, okay, that's crazy. She would like tell these elaborate stories like to get me to, because I never would respond to her, and she would get like say things that I had to respond to. She'd be like, oh my God, I just got robbed. And I'd be like, oh shit. She did get robbed. She sent me a video of her getting robbed, but I'm like, Rimowa's, Dior bag. I happened to remember that she had sent me a photo of her apartment and she had no furniture.
Like just a mattress on the living room floor.
Just
right?
and our apartments were like really nice apartments. There's no reason that she should have no furniture.
And that's like serial killer to me. Like, I don't know. Not having no furniture. I'm not saying having no money is serial killer, but moving into this nice ass building, having only a mattress on the floor.
And not even bothering. And she had told me like random stories. Like she told me how all of her exes had restraining orders on her, which is already like, why? And just like weird vibes. So then like even after this whole car driving thing, she asked me to watch her cat. And then I was like, perfect. I'm going to go through all her shit fully. I'm going to go through her entire apartment.
I'm like bouncing it off. Like I have to like let the way that this makes me feel like out physically.
And
right
so
now.
I was like, because she had gone, like she had like been so invasive in mine. And I'm like, okay, like perfect. I want to go see what this
girl's
about.
Which is just
about.
Crazy that you went like how to catch a killer on this bitch. Like get the fuck out of her apartment, bro.
No, but Tana, I I go in there. When I tell you there is not one item, she's lived there for 6 months, not one item but a mattress. Nothing. No clothes, no nothing. Her cat does. I texted her. And
well, no wonder she was trying on her Aritzia jeans.
I was thinking about stealing, like taking the cat, honestly, and I know that sounds so horrible, but I was like, the cat had not one toy, nothing to scratch. Cats like get whisker fatigue and they can't like eat out of certain bowls. Like they have to be like, the cat was suffering. And I was like, oh my God, it cannot live in these conditions. Like there's nothing for it to jump on. There's no furniture, nothing. It's just a mattress. How the fuck have you lived in an apartment for 6 months with no mattress? And who the fuck stole your Ramoas and Dior bag if you don't have a couch? So I didn't even have anything now to go through because she had nothing in her apartment except a cat and a mattress.
Now have you like, it's at bay, right? Like, are you like, do you talk to her? Like, it's,
I like, you, I don't know. I would, right? Still run into her and say hi. And like, I feel like something definitely is like maybe wrong with her a little. Like, I think she's just like socially, yeah, like a strange person, but it just really weirded me out. I was like,
and I try to have empathy for people that are like that in like socially, but those people to me are the people who end up being stalkers. And
yeah, that's the thing. And I'm the type of person to end up getting skinned alive because I have too much like empathy for the people, uh-huh, who like gave me all the signs. Like if she's fucking wearing your clothes and searching your name and driving your car, like why are you engaging with her? So, but I was just so non-confrontational, and I was like, I knew I wanted to move out anyway. So I was like, I'll just like write out my lease. And now I'm fine. But she's asking me like, yeah, where are you moving? I'm like, I don't know.
Like, can I tell you what this just reminded me of?
Yeah.
That I've been meaning to talk to you about, but I've just been internalizing it because I'm not even kidding you. I do not possess the bandwidth to allow something else in my life to make me paranoid or stressed or anything of that sort, right? Uh-huh. Like, I'm not kidding you. I've been just, like, pretending this isn't happening to me.
Right.
With my stalker right now and what's going on right now, like, I am at capacity. I will get into that in a second.
Yeah.
Because a new development happened last night that I just really don't like. A couple months ago, you know, I was really struggling with my relationship with alcohol and even just relationships with certain people and environments I should or shouldn't put myself in or so on and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a day where I had just made an array of horrible decisions. Like, I just went out all night, and this was kind of at the very end where I was like, okay, I'm going, I'm not drinking, I'm
was
going
sober. Was this the pony?
This was, yes, it was within the same 2 days of the ponytail where, the ponytail is a crazy way of putting this, but essentially I was out all night, I made horrible decisions. I came back to the house at 2 p.m., no sleep, like, clip-on ponytail in my hand. Like,
it's the night of the Turks episode.
Like, oh, we shot the Turks
episode. Yeah, because that's when you had that pony.
We shot the Turks and Caicos episode, and obviously I was going through it. I cried in that episode, like whole nine. And that night I went out and just like, when I'm going through a lot, when I'm going through a lot, I know myself. I'm very like, I can either be super straight edge about it and like smart about it, or like I am abusing substances and I'm awful. And I'd really hit the ceiling of everything I was going through, and I just really was not good to myself like that night at all. And I know that. And I came back the next day and I had Trevi over. And I'm really, really, really grateful for Trevi because I was at the point where it was like, if I stopped drinking cold turkey, I felt like I was gonna like have a seizure. And like I was just shaking and like withdrawing and like just a lot of really dark shit was going on that like week or month. And I was like, okay, I need to be sober. And I have Trevi over and we're just having this deep conversation. And it's crazy the way our relationship has come so full circle, Trevi and I, like everything Trevi went through with her struggles with alcohol. And we were just really talking about it. And I look up to her so much, and I really like resonate with people who struggle with substance abuse. And I always want to be there for people like that. But I found myself in that situation kind of needing someone to be there for me. And I decide in that moment while I'm talking to Trevi, I'm like, I'm going to get an IV, right? Mm-hmm. And this IV nurse comes over and she's giving me an IV. And I'm talking to Trevi just about like, I think I want to be sober for a while. Like, I just want to really get my life on track and like raw dog all these feelings and work through them. And
yeah, instead of like drowning it out.
Exactly. And just asking Trevi questions, like, you know what I mean? Like, how do I wean off of alcohol? Like, what do I do here? Like, what's your advice, you know? And Trevi's just giving me advice. And the IV nurse starts kind of chiming in, like giving me all this medical advice of like what would happen if I went to the hospital for it, or if I wanted to do it at home, or, you know, all this just vulnerable ass advice. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm kind of like, okay, like I appreciate this, but it was kind of a conversation I was having with just
Jenny. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you'd rather somebody just not be even.
But I am like crying and I'm down bad. So at the same time.
Yeah, so maybe she was just trying to be helpful.
She's very motherly and I'm like appreciating this at the same time. And I'm like, what a nice lady, like so on and so forth. The conversation eventually turns into her telling me that her husband had just died like a year ago from alcohol withdrawals. Like he went cold turkey and he seized and he died.
Well, that's not a good thing to say to somebody who's afraid of withdrawing.
And it's just a crazy coincidence. Like, what are the odds that I'm having this whole spiral?
And she happened to.
And this is the whole coincidence arc that we'd already talked about. So I was like, this is so interesting. And then she's like, I have a podcast about it, like with my son. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's really amazing that like you and your son are making a podcast about how, you know, losing your husband and father affected you and whatever. And we just have this like 2.5 hour conversation. Like the IV's done, like she doesn't leave, like so on and so forth. I'm like, oh, I have a podcast, like blah, 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 whatever. And this has never happened in my life where an IV nurse is like, we exchange phone numbers and whatever, mm-hmm. right? And I really appreciated her. No, I didn't fuck her. Which we'll get into in a second. I happened to have sex with another nurse of mine. That's another story. God damn it.
Me and Oscar
I'm
like,
good now. I just want to say that I'm good now. This was a dark couple months, okay? I give her my number. And she starts texting me about it, and I respond a couple times because I'm like, you know, I just had this 3-hour conversation with this woman. Mm-hmm. You know, I text her my name and whatever.
Oh, no.
I just want to show you the scrolls. And I'm responding still. But it gets to a point.
Yeah, it's giving psycho neighbor.
Do you see these novels? Oh my God, it's not, that's like bad.
I hate when people make me regret being like nice. And that sounds so bad because obviously you want to be nice to everybody, but like. When you know when you like really are nice to the kind of like strange person and then they end up like making you regret it.
Can I read you this one that I haven't even ever read until right now? I'm a little high from my nighttime sleep meds, but I was thinking about lunch. Do you want to do lunch for reals? If you were serious, I know you have a busy calendar, we should actually put something down on the calendar, whatever. So I'm down for any type of food. I'm a night owl, so later. It's a novel. It's a text so big you have to click to open it. About...
Aww.
Lunch.
Oh, maybe she's alone.
I know, and that's where it's like
I know, but you have to have some sort of like professional boundary, I think.
Well, and then the other day I noticed that someone in my TikTok DMs is sending me all these TikToks.
Oh, it's her.
And it's her, and I'm just like, obviously I know I'm easy to find and she has my name and so on and so forth, but like, and I want to be nice, but it's just I don't have the bandwidth for the capacity of this potentially being like.
It's also just overwhelming. Like, she knows you're already going through it. Like, that's a whole additional now, like, thing you're thinking about. I don't know. I get, like, a lot of pressure from, like, feeling like I have to respond to people and, like, feeling, like, bad that I don't sit. Like, I feel, like, with that neighbor, like, even though she was creepy as fuck, I felt so bad. And, like, she would text me and be like, oh, I bought you this. Like, I'm leaving this for your cat. Like, I'm like, get your cat a toy, please.
Yeah.
She got me a gift card, like, a really, like, a big gift card. And I was like, thank you. Like, she was nice. That's why I felt bad. But
I just get scared because that's how things can just go so awry. I don't know. So, like, I'll keep you posted on the IV nurse at all.
See, you're never going to get skinned alive. I might.
I don't know about if I am or if I'm not anymore. I've, like, alluded to it on this podcast a million times about how I have, like, a really fucking serious stalker right now. And it's, like, the first time in my life where it makes my OG stalker genuinely feel like a piece of cake. Like, I could take him, like, in comparison to this person and mm-hmm. their build and the things they've been doing. And I don't know how much I've told.
Hardly anything.
About. Like, this stalker started 3 years ago when this I lived one? At Weed Lake. Like, when I lived in the big, like, hype house, clout house, like, fucking those houses when I lived there. And I totally know that with OnlyFans comes the ability of people talk to you all day, every day, and they think that they know you. And if somebody maybe isn't mentally fully well, they begin to think that they...
have, like, a real relationship with you.
That they're really dating you and that they can show up to where you are and that they whatever. And I know... that's like, I feel bad even bitching about it because I think that is... unfortunately one of the prices that you pay with something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And it started with him really doing that to me and Ashley, and messaging us like I know that Ashley went to some Korean barbecue and he sent her a photo of her across the street and was like, I saw you at Korean barbecue. Like, how are you? Like,
I did not know that.
And so like a couple days later or whatever, he sends a photo of him hiking the hill that our house was on with like a knife, like knifing at like some rocks to like get through to where our house was, and just sending photos of him like in the hill, like dirt all over his face, like scary. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm by your house. Like, and I'm by your house is crazy. It's one thing to be on the street and by our house. It's like you had to.
I'm
like,
by your house in the bushes,
in the mountains. And there, it's not even like a hiking trail. It's like, no, really getting there was like actually like you're in the fucking mountain. Like, I'm in the mountain. Scary. And so that's what I hire security at that point. And then we have all these encounters where he just keeps showing up to like where we are and so on. And I've noticed this pattern with every stalker I've ever had where they like go in waves. Like, they'll be doing a bunch of shit like that and then go radio silent.
I would almost be scared when they're silent. It's like, where are you?
No, and it's exactly. It's like, and then they come back and they start doing it again. Every time I've moved, within the first month of me moving, this person makes it so known that like, I know your new address and I know where you are. Like, when I was living in David Dobrik's house for like a little bit, he like left a letter on the gate and like
came. I remember that.
And I'd only been in Dobrik's house for 2 weeks from like, where I like, just moved to.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, how the fuck are you finding that out? What was the, oh, the pizza's here.
And I know that David's house is like,
that known. Is like, yeah, you so can it's
like,
find
but
that.
Even that, like, there was a security camera outside and he perfectly like walked and weaved to set the note like right where it like wasn't in the eye line of the security, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or,
of the cameras. Then I moved to the next house, same thing. He shows up immediately. And that one is like nowhere to be found online. Like, and I like do all this shit with my like people, like with my team, where I put my house in like an alias. So like if you look up like Tana Mojo house, it's not on like white pages.
Yeah.
Or like shit like that. So it's like I'm doing all these precautions and he's still finding it immediately. And like that house I hadn't even posted.
Yeah, it's almost like he's like looking at the view, like looking at like.
And I hadn't even posted that house. Like Ogden. Like I hadn't even posted it when he found that.
Oh, right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
And then, so I'm just hiring 24-hour security, which is so upsetting because it's like fucking $30,000 a month.
Fucking expensive,
and if you tally it out, it makes sense why it's that much. You're paying someone 24 hours a day to sit outside of your house with a gun. Like, it's not like I'm being like overcharged, but it's just so frustrating. And so then when I move from Ogden to the next house, and everyone's like, you move so much. Yeah. Like, duh.
Yeah.
And I specifically choose this house that is on a hill. Like, every celebrity lives on this fucking specific hill. It's very like hard to find, hard to get to, like,
yeah, very like weaving, like, and winding. Yeah.
And I picked this house with no backyard, no separate entrances, no like windows. Like, there is one,
no service.
there's one front door. Like, I'm not even kidding you, if I was in that house and the house was burning down, I would have to like jump off the balcony. Like, yeah. Like, I'd probably die. Like, there was no other like entrances. There was just this one front door, and I specifically chose this house for like
that reason.
Like, it just felt like Fort Knox, like, yeah, the way it was. And then within like a week of moving in there under my alias, there's flowers to my door. There's a big fucking thing of flowers. And at this time, I'm like talking to this fucking TikTok boy. And I'm so excited because I think he's like sending me flowers and all this shit. I'm trying to figure out who these flowers are from for like days. And I'm just like, this is so weird because it's like an abundance of flowers. Like, I want to know who they're from. Yeah. You know? And then I
come you don't want to text the wrong boyfriend and be like, thanks, babe. Honestly, maybe you do.
I think I would have
sent them to all my boyfriends and be like, oh my God, so sweet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they feel threatened.
I don't know how to say this, but this person's initials is a really common acronym that you text. Like really, 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 OMG. Really common.
LOL. Wait, what's his name? I forgot.
It's something that you say all the time to the point that I thought it was like someone using this acronym.
Oh.
In the thing, you know what I mean? And then one day it just clicks to me and I'm like, there's no fucking way this motherfucker already found my house, whatever.
Yeah.
Next day, a jar delivered to my door. And the jar is filled with all of these folded in half notes that are like reasons why I love you and like reasons to be happy. And like there's like 1,000. And I film this. Eventually, if I ever want to put it out there, I film myself like opening the jar and the notes, whatever. I call 911. I call the police. The 911 operator is so fucking mean to me. I will never forget this day in my entire life. Like I call and they're like, it's not a crazy boyfriend. Like, are you sure it's not? And I've had police.
Just the dismissiveness. Oh, it pisses me off so bad. I've had that kind of thing.
Like, the police are just straight up grilling me on the fact of like, are you sure it's not like a boyfriend? And then they find out what you do for a living and they're like, well, it's your fault you put your whole life out there. Like, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what do you mean? And so then I'm like, can you guys come by? Can I file a police report? And they're like, yeah, we can come tomorrow between 5 and 9 p.m. And I'm like, oh, I have to leave. Like, I'm getting on a flight. You know, like, is there any way you guys could come now? Like, they just dropped it off like right now.
Yeah, like he knows where I live fully. Yeah, like,
is there clearly. Anything I can do right now? And they're like, well, it seems like you don't really care about it. It seems like you don't really like what I'm like, what do you mean I don't care about it? Like, I'm just, you know, like this whole thing. So then I hire security full time again, and it's so expensive. And the head of my security is kind of like, Tana, I'm sorry, but no one's ever going to care, especially in LA, unless there is a body or a weapon. And like, that's yeah. just your truth. And that's just unfortunately the life you have to live. And then I post on my social media a couple days later that I'm really craving mango with chamoy and tajin, but I don't have chamoy. And a couple days go by and I'm getting my makeup done. I'm sitting in the glam chair with Alexis and Chris Miles is over. And I'll just never forget this because doorbell rings and it's an Amazon delivery, an anonymous Amazon delivery. And it is enough chamoy for 100 people.
Honestly,
I'm talking
really sweet
liters. Everyone makes that joke and it makes me sick. Like Hunter was like, Tammy, you might be the one.
Not funny, but like,
no, I'm not even kidding you. It's like 25 bottles of chamoy like this big. And I'm sitting there and
that's why you're so much different than me, because I would have been like, oh. You're right, it's scary.
And everyone is like, Tana, your stalker did not send this. Like, you were on Xanax and you ordered chamoy on Amazon. Like, get a fucking grip. And I'm like, you guys, I did not. And they're like, no, like, this is so you coded. And it really is. Like, I love to just like order some shit on Amazon.
I'm sure
and
there's
show
been
up.
A couple things like throughout the years that you might have like accidentally done
absolutely.
To yourself.
Absolutely. But just no one believes me. And I'm like, I want to call the police. And Chris Miles is like, what are you going to say? Call 911 and be like, there's hella chamoy outside. Like,
honestly, so true. Like, oh my God, there's chamoy on my doorstep.
Yeah, like no one's whatever. Stalker messages me a couple days later, like, did you get your chamoy? And I'm like, fuck everyone. Fuck you guys. No one believed me. So on and so forth. This keeps happening now with like snacks and Amazon deliveries. And we go into trying to get the calling Amazon and like and the flower companies and trying, and all of it's anonymous and they can't track anything without a police report and so on and so forth, and they can't track
yeah,
anything without
like,
a restraining
you
order.
You can't like give information out about
and somebody. I can't get a restraining order filed for the life of me because this person also doesn't have a place of residency. They live out of their car and it's this whole thing. And then my security keeps saying like, we think we're seeing this car drive by and we've tried to stop it down, but it just drives away, like whatever. And like, the police are never going to serve a restraining order to a car. Like it's just not a thing. I've tried so many times, so on and so forth. I move into this house. This is right around the time of the IV nurse. I'm really going through it. And I decide that I'm going to get an Airbnb. Like, I've lived in this house for like 3 days. And I decide that I'm going to get an Airbnb in Malibu and just get the fuck out of LA for a second, like as much as I can to my ability, because I'm just working so much. I really want to be sober. There's so much going on around me. Like, I just needed no outside influences, yeah. You know? And I just needed to like be alone myself in like a little beach house and just like have a couple days to like think and breathe. And I'm about to walk out the door to go to this beach house in Malibu. And I notice that on the doormat, wedged into the doorknob, wedged into the front gate's doorknob, and on all over Paige's car that was parked outside, are these business cards with the name of the person who has been bothering me.
Damn, how do you have business cards?
He's saying on the business card that he's like a handyman and this is like his phone number and so on and so forth. I know for a fact he's not. And I think that this was his goal to get like maybe like I just hired a new employee, Robin, like maybe to get Robin to see it and think we like need one to like let him in or like something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Right?
All these business cards. And it's also, again, just him saying like, you've moved again. And within the first week, I know where you live.
Like, how are you finding out?
How are you finding out so fast? Whatever. I go to the beach house in Malibu. And it's scary out there. Like, there's not a lot of service. Like,
how are you gonna have all that money and no service, Malibu?
And like, it's dark as fuck. Like, it's just like, whatever. Like, I'm out there. And within my like first 8 hours of being there, he messages me drone shot photos of the beach house I'm staying in.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
And he's like, it looks amazing. Like the view. And that's the thing. All of this is like the way he's like saying everything is like from a place of love. Like he's like, my boyfriend like looks amazing. Are you enjoying the beach?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not like threatening in any way. So that's why it's also kind of strange, because it's like he maybe like maybe just thinks he's being like nice and doesn't realize like, you know, like
that we don't know each other personally. And it's like scaring the shit out of me, obviously. And that's where it gets into like the whole thing, whatever. And so I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I just want 3 days of peace. I just wanted to like get away from my house and like hope nothing happens. And like, you know, like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
So we all leave the house and we go to dinner, and we're at this dinner in Malibu. It was like me, Amari, Ashley, like everyone had like come out to the Malibu house, and we all decided to go to dinner. And in the last minute, Amari was like, I don't really want to go to dinner. I think Ty was going to dinner and he was like fighting with Ty or like whatever. And he was like, I'm just going to chill back at the Airbnb like and sit here, whatever. We're at the restaurant and Amari calls us and he's like, someone just rang the doorbell. Like, did you guys order anything? Did you guys order Postmates? And I'm so on edge about the stalker as is, you know what I mean? I'm like, no, Amari, call the police, lock the door, like do whatever.
Yeah.
And Amari goes up to the top balcony and looks down into the road and fully just like sees the stalker in his car. Like, we all know what he looks like. We all know what his car looks like. He's just sitting outside. Like, he came and rang the doorbell. Amari like went to the doorbell and was like, hello, and could see feet under the door. And he just said nothing and got back in the car and whatever. And I'm like, I have to get out of this Airbnb immediately. This is so fucking annoying. I paid so much money to just have like a couple days of peace before I go on tour and like relax and like whatever. So we come back there. I call my security to meet with me. We pack up the Airbnb and I get home to my doorstep. And I feel like I get a notification that the doorbell rang. I'm trying to connect to the camera. No one's on the camera. So it's like someone carefully rang the doorbell, like not in front of the camera. And I get home to like six heart-shaped pizzas.
Yeah, I remember because you left them outside and I saw the heart-shaped pizzas. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
He messages me like, I hope you enjoy your pizza. And so it's like, what?
Ugh, it's like that's so scary. It like me, I'm hoping it isn't scary and he is just like, he really thinks that you guys are in love. But I mean, I would be scared too. But it just like, it's not sustainable. You can't be paying $30,000 a month for security. Like, he needs to be arrested.
And or at least like the police. I'm trying so
not
hard.
Not even arrested, but like somebody just needs to like reprimand him in some way and be like, listen, this is not, you can't do that.
And there's obviously like illegal ways to go about that. Like, I could have my security like stalk the stalker and like show up. But that's like a whole thing where it's like, you can't do that. And so I hired a private investigator to try to like find him. And I'm spending all this money and time on that as well, which is just so frustrating. Like, I like have, because the police care so little that I'm having to get a private investigator to like stalk him down and catch him stalking me down to get the
police. Yeah, so that you have evidence so that they care. Yeah.
Yeah, which is just fucking insane that like I can't just get a restraining order on this person and it's like they don't care. And it's
yeah, but it is hard because how can you say like, oh no, he sent me chamoy and flowers and pizza? Like, but
yeah, they don't care.
It isn't that way, but it is.
And so last night he sent me photos of this like little shed. He built.
At least he's moving up.
But like, where is the shed? Am I going to end up in it?
You sent in the group chat, right?
Literally today he's messaged me, good morning, basic dance steps. Hope you had a wonderful day, my love. I love you for being you. He sends me like weird sexual shit.
Tana Marie Mojo. Wait, it appears that the shed is in the house or in a backyard. Does he have a yard?
And like, so maybe it's what he does for a... Oh, he unsent those.
Did he?
Why did he unsend them?
I have it here.
I send them to Amari and all he says back to me is, have you ever seen the movie The Lovely Bones?
Okay. Why would he say that?
And I literally was sobbing last night.
Wait, I want to look at his...
Why would he unsend them? Can he see that I like looked at the message? Like, do you know what I mean? Like when someone sends you like image sent and message requests are covered, tap to see blurred image. Like, can he see that I tapped to see those?
No. As long as you've never accepted his message request. Oh, he follows me too. I wonder if he's ever messaged me.
Why would he? Just the shed of it all.
Oh, he does.
What did he say to you?
Why does Tana appear as though she was edited into this photo?
Sometimes he'll send random digs at me too. Like when I put the brunette hair on my story, he like randomly was like, now that I'm seeing it in the light, you look like a 5 out of 10. I was like, so like.
Do you love me or do you not?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
It is.
The shed is just really sending me over the edge. Like, what?
See, this would never be a problem if you just moved into the penthouse in my building and you just lived your little apartment life.
And it just sucks so bad because I like love having a house and I just don't think I can, at least in LA.
Ugh, I want you to do New York. I want you to do New York so then I have an excuse to go to New York for like a month. I have to bring the cat, though. I'm learning or teaching her to learn or to walk on a leash. She's brilliant.
Every time I talk about it, I get so stressed out and like paranoid to live my life, which I absolutely hate. And I hate it affects everyone else too. Like Paige was freaking out about her car and like.
Yeah, wasn't he really creepy to Ashley too?
Really creepy to Ashley. Like it's been like to me and Ashley for the most part, which and now we like live in the same house. So it's like I feel like he's like, oh my God, yay.
Because
he was sending her hella mail to her apartment too at the time that he was sending me stuff. So now it's like, oh, I can just do it all at one address. Like my girls are there. And it's like, oh my God, I don't know.
Oof.
I just really want him to stop. Do you remember on the last episode we shot together how I was telling you a story about how I saw a guy that I literally fucked at the gym and like he didn't really recognize me without makeup or whatever? And I don't know if I had said that like I would hook up with him again, but like at the time that I like that all happened, I was saying in real life to like Paige and I think you, I was like, I would hook up with him again. Like I saw him at the gym. Like
yeah, whatever. Well, obviously, because otherwise you wouldn't have hid from him.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
So I tell you this story, right? And again, I'm on my like weird coincidences shit. I was like, it's so weird that I was talking about him and then I see him at the gym and like all this shit and whatever. And then the next day I woke up to him. And keep in mind, this man is not an influencer at all. Like he is like a childhood friend of one of my best friends. Like that's how I met him. I met him in Vegas, like very much Vegas friend affiliated. And then he ended up moving out here, but he moved out here not to like be in the scene. But then I think he like changed his mind. He's like, I want to be in the scene. I want to be famous, like whole nine, right? He went on another one of, it's Ari's childhood friend. He went on Ari's childhood friend's podcast and told a whole, and this podcast gets like 100 views.
That was the guy?
Yes, he went. Right after I see him at the gym, like randomly, coincidentally, had gone in that same week on a childhood friend's like podcast and told a whole story about hooking up with me with like all these lies.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy is a girl that I know commented on it and was like, this is embarrassing, or like something, like saying something mean about you.
Yeah. Like saying that, and it was like, yeah, she's like some Vegas like. Sorry.
I met her when I did the like Eva Longoria thing in Vegas.
Yeah, like she's just some like micro influencer in Vegas who apparently just doesn't like me. I don't know
why she was like publicly mean about you. I'm like, God, at least do it in the messages.
I think she fucks him. Oh. So she was like,
no, I think she has a boyfriend.
Or she used to. I don't even know.
I just thought it was crazy. I was like, damn.
He goes on this podcast in the same week. Like it had to have been before I see him at the gym randomly and tells.
Oh,
this,
do you think he was like.
Yeah. And tells this whole story about hooking up with me and says that I left my hair extensions in his bed.
Now.
And I know we just sold the whole clip on ponytail story. But here's the thing. I have tape and extensions. They're very hard to get out unless I'm like in Turks and Caicos underwater for a week. They're not just coming out, flying out. The sex
no,
with this man.
I'm with him on this one.
I can't express to you enough how painful it is to me that he said this because it is a blatant lie. To get my tape in out in Las Vegas in dry ass weather would never happen. The sex was not giving Paris.
Not giving, pull your hair rough, out.
Pull my hair. If I left it, if a tape and extension did come out, I would right then and there like put it into my purse or throw it away. I would never just leave it in someone's bed.
Yeah.
And like,
you're not an animal.
I think it's one thing maybe for an influencer to say they hooked up with me and they already, but to like make that be like the start, you're trying to jumpstart your career like that.
Yeah, that's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing in general to go on to a podcast and be like, yeah, I fucked this person. I guess we do that. Never
no,
by
we,
name.
No, we don't.
Never by name.
No, we
I'll
don't.
I'll tell a story about someone. I'm never going to say their name.
I'm never talking about someone I hooked up with. I said this to Dave Portnoy. I'm never talking about someone I hooked up with unless they bring it up first, whatever. And it was just like so, and Ari was so mad and like defensive because Ari like knows him and grew up with him and was like, you're not going to do my sis like that. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But like, how weird is it that like, as I was talking about seeing this guy on the podcast.
It sucks that that's such a believable story. Because, like, you know, I would have watched that and been like, yeah, this checks out.
I'm not, maybe I would leave a hair extension in, like, Chris Miles' bed.
Yeah.
But I would never leave a hair extension in a stranger's bed. And we hooked up, like, years ago. One time.
Yeah.
So, like, what are the odds that, like, the same time that he's moved to LA, it's been years later.
And you just happen to run into him in that same week that he happened to have gone on the podcast and happened to have talked about you.
And my biggest fear is, like, my Vegas ex-boyfriend, whomst I adore, seeing that and being like, what the fuck? Like, whole nine. So, like, he deleted it. I just thought it was a weird coincidence that I would, like, touch on.
That is a weird coincidence. Ari and I went and grabbed a drink before this. And I was, like, literally making Ari, like, drill me. Because I hate going on dates. I have to drink before a date, and I know that's so bad, but I literally have to because, like, just the mechanics of it. Like, I can have a conversation, but, like, the actual act of, like, physically getting there and meeting somebody for the first time and, like, all of that, like, makes me so nervous and anxious. Like, I cannot handle it. Mm-hmm. I'm going on a date, but here's my issue. I just recently told a story about this, like, stupid idiot rat on this podcast that ghosted me, and I realized, don't talk to a guy who just got out of a relationship. Okay, that was a new rule I made for myself.
Uh-huh.
And then I set a date with this guy and find out that he just got out of a relationship. Like, so, and like a very serious one.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, God, am I going to just set myself up for failure again?
I hope not. I really hope not. Can we say what he does or like anything like that or no?
I've had a crush on him since I was 11.
Is he the park guy as well or no?
No.
Okay, just checking. I'm trying to like keep up. Honestly, yeah, I don't want to sabotage this. You and I are really trying to be in our era where we stop airing out like our dating lives and talking about everything as much and try to rebrand and grow. So I think you just go on this date and you say, should we role play?
These are my major concerns. I'll tell you what. Being an influencer. I don't feel like guys like you to be an influencer. But that's my job. But like, nobody, like, it's like, what can I say that's not an influencer that's like not technically lying?
I've been trying to figure this out for my entire life. Like,
you can say a lot of things though, because you're like technically like an entrepreneur. I'm not.
You're a host?
Yeah, should I say that? Like, but then it's like, what do you talk about? I'm like, well, right now, you.
Pop culture?
Yeah.
I've been getting spunky on Hinge. I've been telling people I'm straight up like a professional soup tester. I'm not even actually kidding. Like, I made that up.
It just I love soup. That sounds so good.
I love soup. So I just have been saying that to people.
We'll see how it goes. I'm just trying to find out if I'm self-harming by purposefully getting into a situation with another guy who just got out of a relationship. Feels like self-harm.
Look at Brianna and Zach Bryan. They're my, like, everything right now. Like, I'm just like...
That feels like a little bit of an anomaly.
You never... I mean, at the end of the day, he's on a dating app and he's going on dates. And if he's not emotionally ready to be in a relationship, then he shouldn't be doing that. And that does fall on him and not
Well, that
you.
Was the last guy too, but it didn't make it less upsetting for me in the end.
Yeah, I think that's such a weird thing that people do. Like, I'm not going to go on dates if I'm not ready to date.
Yeah, I'm literally working a seat filler job right now where I, like, literally... I'm not kidding. You know, at award shows when, like, somebody gets up to, like, present or something and someone else his job is literally to just sit in the spot until they come back.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like I've been doing for men. Like, literally, like, your girlfriend's gone, I'll seat fill until she comes back.
Which is also just like, it blows my mind that people can be like 25 plus and not have the emotional maturity to be transparent about if they're in that place of life. Yeah. Like it's like on a first date, then say like, listen, I am just trying to like get myself back out there and get to know people. Like I just respect an honest person so much more.
Me too. I would so much rather know. And then I can just like operate accordingly. But like, dude, it took me like fucking a year before I even like looked at another person after my breakup. And then it's like,
Maybe it's just a difference in like girls and guys.
Yeah, I feel like guys get like, are it's easier for them to just get back.
I had this guy like recently, like not recently, like a couple months ago, but you know, it just, it grinded my gears so the wrong way. He was a really good friend and I started to develop a crush on him and we end up hooking up. And then after we hook up, he tells me like, I don't think I can handle being with you because your life is so public and your life
but
so
that's something that he knew before he hooked up with you, so he should have said like, he should have decided that before then.
And then I was like, okay, whatever. And then we like hook up again and then he's like, listen, I'm not in the place to be in a relationship right now.
Oof.
Like, and I'm like, that's fine, like I get it, and I can't date you anyways for so many reasons, so it's like we need to just go back to our friendship. And I'm like trying to revert back to our friendship. Come to find out a couple weeks ago, he has a fucking girlfriend.
That's how it goes.
He's a fucking girlfriend.
I think I've seen this film
like
before.
And it just like really frustrates me because it's like, had you just been transparent and stuck with
just your, say
like,
you don't want to fucking date me.
Yeah, literally, like, why can't men just be like, listen, I can't date you? Like, what? Like,
I know, but it then it's like, would I rather somebody lie to me? Because sometimes I'm like, oh, like I would rather just like no, and I'd rather them be honest. But then it's like, if they were honest, I would have been like, oh, I wish you just ghosted me.
No, I would rather someone be honest tenfold. But then again, I think about it, and if I was them, I couldn't be honest. So I guess it's just like the discrepancies of dating.
Same thing. Yeah, no, I fucking hate that.
I'm done dating in LA.
Natalie, you know how Natalie will like give like the funniest like delusions just to like support you?
Yeah.
Natalie has this theory, like one of the guys I was like really just like so into like earlier this year has a girlfriend now, and same thing, he like told me he couldn't, whatever. She has this like, she adopted this like major big theory that his girlfriend does exclusively anal, and that's what put her above me in the situation. And she's like, but she's dead fucking serious. She's like, I know it, like that's the only thing she has like on you is anal, like she does anal the whole time.
Did he want to do anal and you didn't?
No, but she she adopted that by herself and just like decided that that was the truth. And so now I'm like, yeah, there's his anal girlfriend.
Natalie is so funny. In New York City, we got this fucking, and I've never seen anything like this happen, just this fashion week, this just happened. We were eating at my hotel, and this hotel is like, if there was such a thing as a 6-star hotel, this would be a fucking 6-star hotel. Yeah. It's so nice. Like Shakira was staying on my floor. Like just all, Matthew McConaughey was staying there. Like all these people. And it was for Fashion Week and it was such a vibe. And we decided to go eat in the lobby. And the restaurant in the lobby only serves like caviar. Like it's like you can't even get some like fucking normal shit like at all. And so we sit down and we're eating caviar and we have... And Jordan Woods is sitting one table over from us. Natalie's like screaming the whole time too. I'm just so mortified. Like bless her heart, but oh my God. And our waiter comes over and he is like the rudest waiter I have had in so long. I feel like I'm really lucky. I always get like really nice waiters and I like bond with them and it's like a whole thing. And this waiter's so fucking rude. And the service is, and I like a slow service because if I'm going to sit down, like I want to
like literally take it all in.
Yeah, but it's like I ordered an iced tea an hour and a half ago and like it's not here and you've told me it's coming 6 times and like,
yeah,
it's just the service is just like horrible, like horribly slow, and it's not even packed like that. So I'm like, what the hell is going on, you know? And the waiter's just being so fucking rude. And Natalie orders a glass of wine and he's like, can you pick it up? Like, can you pick it up so I can pour it to you? But it's like super rude. Like it was like on the table and he didn't want to pour it. So she picks it up and it's like a big ass wine glass. And it's not like he's pouring it for her to like taste it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like he actually just pours her like a tiny, tiny like sip of like a little more than like a tasting amount, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, could you give me a little more? Like it's not a glass of wine at all. It is like a fourth of a glass of wine. And other people have wine on the table that's been poured. He poured it normally. Like it's just weird. It's not for her to taste it. It's like whatever. And so she holds out her glass for him to pour more. And he goes, excuse me? What did you just say to me? Like, and like snaps at Natalie so heavy, you know what I mean? And so then I like interject and I'm like, hey, should I go to the kitchen and get like what I like ordered, like since it's never gonna come anyways, like whatever. And is, you know, he's like, oh, I'll get it, I'm sorry, we're slow, like whatever. He walks away and he comes back at the end when he brings us the bill, And he like sits down towards Natalie and he's like, I just want to apologize for snapping at you. I've never.
Honestly, at least he like acknowledged it.
But I've never in my life had a way to like die on that hill. Like at that point, like.
Yeah, I don't know if I could admit fault in that situation.
Like I. That just would happen to Natalie Bowling. Like, she gets a fucking waiter that, like, apologizes to her.
For so
like,
funny.
The whole, it was just the funniest thing in New York. I don't know why it came to my mind, but fuck him, for real. He was horrible.
Ugh, you got me hungry.
I am hungry. I have so many more stories to tell you from New York, but I think I'm going to save them because they all involve major celebrities, and I don't know if I want to get myself in any more trouble.
Probably for the best.
I just went on a first date, and within the first minute of sitting down, the guy, we somehow started talking about sign language because it was super loud in there. And for some reason, I thought this would be like a funny thing to say. I was like, oh yeah, I don't really know sign language. I only know tree.
And I did this on the means? Date. Is that tree?
This is tree.
I feel like there's got to be an easier way to say it. Like, can't you just say like, I don't know.
I don't know, but.
I guess that's house.
He brought it up on like our second date. He was like, yeah, on our first date, you literally did like I do the most embarrassing.
See, so do I. And then I think about it so hard. That's why I have to drink before, because this is a real concern I have too. Is like, am I actually making my personality better by drinking, or am I just not noticing how awkward I am because I'm drinking?
Whoa, I don't know.
Like, is it actually like me having more charisma all of a sudden, or am I just suddenly not as hyper aware of how incredibly awkward I'm being?
I will never have the answer to that, but let me know if you want to come me to come spy. Like, I will spy.
Ari said the same thing, but I'm going to be like so. And like,
I did that. I had Lila.
He's so hot too. I don't like going out with hot people either, because then it's like, then that's what I'm thinking about the whole time.
Yeah, like, well, you're so hot. He's so hot. I think it could be a sleigh, and this, you might find love.
I'm trying to find love. I'm shooting higher in the age range.
I've realized, I think that's it. If I'm dating in LA at all, I need to shoot higher in the age range, but I think I'm done dating in LA, and that's a big reason why I want to move to New York and find love.
Yeah, whole new pool out there, just completely different genre.
Like, I cannot date another person who is on social media, who's been on a reality show, who's done anything that's like in my realm. Like, I'm just done. I'm disgusted. I'm celibate.
I agree.
Well,
same. I'm like, my boyfriend's a farmer. My new one. Farmer boy.
Brooke's been trying to look up horse riding lessons to get this man to really fall in love. Well, I have to leave and go on Hassan Piker's podcast, and
okay. All
he does is talk about politics, and I don't know anything about him, and he might really hate me, but the only reason I'm going on is because he's kind of sexy, so we'll see if something goes.
He is from hot. That.
As I'm saying, I can't date another influencer. Bye, guys. Love Hopefully you. We don't get killed.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.